It's me, Em, and Rugby League.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the final hooter on Radio General.
I was just saying then, lowering my mic's down.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm booming in my earlobes, man.
Right, so you've got it loud on your end. There you go. Is that any better for you?
Is that any better for the quality? I'm not too sure. No. Welcome to the final hooter. It's me and Parky talking Rugby League on loverugby.com. And thanks to our friends at Radio General for letting us use the equipment that makes us... do we sound professional?
Well, we nearly sound professional.
Semi-professional.
Semi-professional. Half professional.
League One plays, we are. All right, maybe not that high quality. National Conference?
Lower.
Northwest Counties?
Lower. Schoolboy? Yeah, that'll do.
Schoolboy?
That'll do.
No, listen, I saw that that curtain raiser at Wembley. They were even better than us, man.
All right, okay. Where does that leave us?
Blind school?
Scraping the barrel. That's it. We're the Scraping the Barrel Rugby League podcast.
Yeah, that's it.
Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson here.
But I've been in the rugby league wilderness, you can push all the buttons and talk the talk, my man.
Well, I'll give it a go. It seems like the best place to start is the biggest game of the year, Wembley. Challenge Cup final.
Wow, what happened?
What's your thoughts on it?
It was a good match, yeah. We had finally a competitive game of rugby league. Because we've not had one of them at the new Wembley, have we?
No. Mm. They've all been a bit washouty, haven't they?
They have. Whereas this one had a real attacking flow to it, I thought. And defences were on top of the game.
To be fair, I like seeing a game like that. We had a classic, I thought. A Wembley classic or a new Wembley classic, put it that way. All started off really well for Warrington. They controlled, were making far more metres than Hull. Scored the first try of the game, 34 minutes. Matty Russell, great intercept, by the way, by Chrissy Sandow in the build up to it. How did you see it going from that point? Did you think that Warrington would go for the throat?
No, not really. Obviously there was a lot to play for still when Matty Russell touched down, but I thought at 10-0 if Warrington would have pushed the luck a little bit and maybe gone for that killer try.
So that was after Daryl Clark had broken and he'd fed it out to Ben Curry.
What a
finish it was from him.
It certainly was, wasn't it? But Warrington, I don't know what it was. Maybe the mind just set him into thinking, no, we're going to hang on here. And that seemed to play into Hull's favour. But I felt the kicking of Mark Sneed was a bit more effective second half than what it was in the first half.
I thought there were two crucial things from a Warrington point of view. The first was losing Benny Westwood, who was having a great game going forward. And then, Gidley, because then the kicking game went to pot. They had to rely too much on Chris Sandow. And as one halfback, he couldn't do it on his own.
But Talalona, what a take. What a take.
You got it wrong. It's Fanua. You always get them two mixed
up. Both look alike.
Yeah, Maher Fanua it was Fanua, with the take.
What a take.
But for me, I mean, Mark Sneed, he wins that Lance Todd on five kicks, doesn't he? The 40-20 in the first place to get the ball. Then the one that landed right on the top where Fanua scores. Then he kicked the goal from the touchline.
Yeah.
10-6. Everything to play for.
But in the press conference after it, even Mark Sneed agreed that Mint should have got it.
That who should have got it?
Mint.
Mint? Who's Mint?
Oh, Mint. That's his nickname now, Mint.
Who's Mint?
Danny Houghton.
Why is he called Mint?
I don't know. I didn't ask Mark Sneed about that. I just heard him say Mint should have got it.
Is that because I don't remember him wearing a green head guard or a blue head guard or something like that?
But what a tackle by Danny Houghton.
Fantastic, wasn't it?
I actually thought Ben Curry scored. I think you can see the replay there of the game on TV, and even Ben Curry thought he scored.
That came after Sneed's fourth kick, which had led to Jamie Shaw going over, and he converted it, 12-10. Then right in those last couple of minutes, you're right, Warrington were piling on the pressure. The break came in from Ben Curry. I thought he'd scored it. You definitely thought he'd scored it.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, appearing from nowhere for his 52nd tackle of the game.
Mint.
Well, it were a mint tackle.
Yeah.
We're a cracking tackle.
But he should have got the Man of the Match award. I voted for Danny Houghton.
Just out of interest, can you put us right on this one? When they're asking for the Man of the Match award at Wembley, when does it come? You know, it's been a while since I was last there.
When they start asking for you to write it down. About 5 minutes to the end.
So there was time, really, to have noticed that Danny Houghton was doing all this work.
Oh, outstanding for me.
Yeah, he's been outstanding all season, hasn't he?
Underrated player, isn't he?
Absolutely fantastic, yeah.
And even the call from Lee Radford at the end said, well, that his ability and the fact his work rate, his hunger to ensure his mates win the game and win that yard battle Maybe the international manager should be looking at that and saying this is international quality, because that's the qualities you need to win an international.
Very much so, very much so. I mean, there were some other great performances from Hull, by the way. I thought that Talanoa ran his blood Fanua got the finish. Talanoa ran his blood to water on the other side. Stevie Michaels was excellent, I thought, on the wing. Had that try disallowed.
When that's going to happen to him, are Hull going to be? Hull going to give him a contract, or are they going to say, no, we're going to let you go?
At the moment, it doesn't look like they're doing it, but I tell you what, somebody's going to get a good winger, aren't they? Because he's had a crackerjack of
but
a season.
I'm sure Hull fans who are listening to this podcast are saying, listen, you've not seen this guy play week in, week out. He's been rubbish half of the time, but all of a sudden he's putting the performances in at the right time.
I don't know, every game I've seen him play this season, and Hull have been televised a lot, I think he's been brilliant for him. I think he's been really good.
Hull, the administration at Hull FC seem to suggest he hasn't done enough.
Talking about not quite doing enough, who stood out for you for Warrington though?
Thought Ben Curry stood out. Thought Brad Dwyer had a decent dig. Gidley.
Going to chuck a name out there.
Gidley went okay.
I know that you disagreed with at the time. Stephen Ratchford. 224 metres he ran for in the game.
Mixed bag. Yeah.
Couple of errors.
Yeah. Crucial errors as well.
I was just about to say, does the 220 odd metres not make up for the errors?
He tried hard, this Stephen. He's a decent quality lad. I'm sure he'll bounce back. But
Chris Hill, quiet start, but then got into it. Second spell was excellent.
I thought this was the key as well. I thought Warrington lost the forward battle.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Minicello carried most of the battling, to be honest. For
and you were a scary thought it must be. I mean, they've got probably the biggest pack in the world of rugby league of OFC, right? And then just when you think, oh, you dealt with their 80 and coming off is Frank Pritchard. You're like, what?
Yeah. And Big Frank got himself involved. Perhaps not as much as I would have thought, but even so, you know, still.
Handful.
Still was a handful, wasn't he, for the defence. Shall we hear some feedback, see what the coaches had to say about it? So first of all, here is Lee Radford with his thoughts on the game.
You know, it's history making that so many quality teams prior to us and so many unbelievable players have not achieved what we've achieved today. And you know, I feel really privileged to be involved with this group, and I'm unbelievably proud of putting this group of players together. You know, you can't manufacture chemistry within a team and the friendships, and you know, we've talked about it all year and we've been mocked by some people for it, but the togetherness, I just won as a cup final, so I'm totally smiling loud and proud. The effort was phenomenal, but you know, we probably didn't play how we spoke about playing. But you know, we spoke at half time that something's going to change momentum within the game, and it ended up being a kick player, you know, that we'd worked on all week, and that sort of just knocked their body language for six, and from there, you know, we grew a little bit, and you know, the rest is history, as I say. I've got to give a mention to Danny Outer. I think he came up literally as he made that tackle. That was his 57th tackle. I think Gaz was just behind him on 37. That's the most important tackle I think I've, you know, in any game I've ever been involved in. But it's the epitome of the bloke, and you know, what, if you select the England coach, take note. You've got to take note. That heart wins your test series, you know, and I really mean that. He epitomises what you want in a test hooker, and he was playing against an unbelievable hooker today. And I don't think he'd look out of place on that arena. I really don't. And I can't tell you how proud I am of him, you know, being a Hull boy. And he gets the same amount of stick as I do, you know, living where we live when we don't win. So, you know, I know how proud he's going to be walking his dog in his full FC track tour like he does every day of the week. I can't single any of them out. I just thought the performances was... It epitomised that sort of never-say-die attitude. And like I said, you know, if you look, watch the game back and probably didn't play like we wanted to play, but our attitude and our energy just mocked so much up and got us a result and won, you know, eventually won us a cup final. And I think throughout the competition, you know, against St. Helens, we was really clinical and dominant. Against Catalan, we kept them at arm's length for a full 80 minutes and never looked like losing. We scrapped against Wigan, and we, you know, was in quicksand today and managed to claw our way out of it. And nobody can begrudge us taking that cup back to Hull, because we've won in every manner in this competition, and you know, I'll just repeat it again, that's just a credit to the individual sat inside of me and the individuals that took the field today. And you know, my greatest achievement is putting them together.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
So there was Lee Radford, obviously very happy with that performance.
Sounds like he's in a box.
Well, we can't tell where that audio comes from. You were sat in the room anyway.
I know he was.
Why could you not get any better audio?
Because Wembley have it in this big massive auditorium,
right?
And they have the speakers on above in the ceiling.
Ah, that'd explain it. Yeah, he sounded like he was going to.
Acoustics are not that great.
He sounded like he was going to start commentating on Eurosport, didn't he? Because that always sounds like they're in a box, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
So that was what the winning coach had to say. There has to be a loser for every winner. And Tony Smith, well, this is what he had to say to the assembled press.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts. Yeah, it was close. It could have gone either way. And terrific game. Fantastic game to be part of. And, you know, it's that old cliche of a game of inches. And then it can be sometimes. And that's how it was today. I'm very proud of my boys' efforts. Very proud of the way they defended. I thought they were exceptional there. We lapsed on a couple of kick situations and didn't quite go through to the end of that set, and it cost us on a couple of occasions. I thought Mark's Snead's second half kicks hurt us. You know, I thought we did a fantastic job on him in the first half, and he didn't hurt us too much there, and his second half kicks were, you know, on the money, and it hurt us on a couple of occasions. But you know, there was a difference between the two teams in the second half in kicking games. I thought we had the better kicking game in the first half and controlled things, and they did in the second half. Our kicking game wasn't new good enough in the second half. Just some of our options weren't the right ones, but you know. But in terms of defence, I thought we were terrific. Yeah, could have easily gone the other way, and you know, had a ball slid over the try line, we would have been here all celebrating a different team. But we aren't, and we've got to handle that. And congratulations to Hull. I thought they were, you know, they were tenacious. They kept going and going and going. I thought they looked like they were gone at certain stages through that game. Physically, I thought we were, you know, making some really good inroads through their middle, and it looked like their big men might have you know, had enough at certain stages, but then we come up with one or two errors in certain parts of the field that probably relieved them and relieved the pressure from them. But congratulations to them. They got rid of a hoodoo that they've had over them regarding Wembley, and you know, well done to Lee. And you know, I think it's been great for their club to stick by a young coach who was probably under some pressure last year at certain stages from the, you know, the stands rather than anywhere else. And you know, well done to Adam Pearson for sticking with a young coach to, you know, have faith in him and support him and get through. And you know, they're having a terrific year, and it's probably a lesson for many people out there in the stands. You know, if you give a young coach a chance to shine, they can come through. And well done to Lee, and to, you know, the club by sticking by Lee and his coaching staff.
To be fair, he makes a good point there, doesn't he, Tony? Because he was saying about Hull sticking by Lee Radford.
Yeah.
I mean, this time last year, there were Hull fans calling for his head, weren't they?
Oh, God, yeah.
And even at the start of the season, when they had that big loss at Widnes, again, fans were calling for his head, weren't they?
Fans who were at the Horton Stadium that night were saying Radford should go.
But, you know, they stuck by him, and I think he's done well to get this group of players around him, hasn't he?
I think the turning point for a whole season must be in that defeat, that Widnes, because they had that locking, didn't they? Mm-hmm. They got kicked out the dressing room, and the players had the chit-chat, and they've never looked back. Whatever was said, bottle it and keep it for the rest of the seasons.
Talking about looking back, what about Wembley? Where do we start with it? I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's full anymore. It doesn't seem like it can attract a sellout.
It doesn't seem to be. When I was a kid, going down to Wembley with your mum and dad, and it felt like the entire north of England was going down there. it doesn't seem to be that way these days. I don't think the modern fan really makes it the big rugby league day out anymore.
Is there too many events? Because you've got like the grand final, you've got like the Magic Weekend where they take it around the country, and you know, it's a lot of money, isn't it, for your average fan?
Well, if you think about it, with the schedule of the Champions Cup finals, like you said, you've had the Magic Weekend the back of May, haven't we? And then you've got the Champions Cup final, literally six, eight weeks later. Yeah, my maths right? Is that right?
June, July, 12 weeks later.
Listen, I was always in the bottom sets in maths, all right. Don't claim to have an O level in maths. And but yeah, at this stage of the season, you've got Super 8, you've got Qualifying 8, you've got playoffs, grand final, internationals. It's all compacted into a short space of time, the business end of the season, isn't it? But the Challenge Cup for me, I'm in the camp it should move away from Wembley. I really am. I don't think it's... When I was a kid, it was packaged as the big rugby league day out. The entire North went down for the day out in London, watched a game in Rugger, and came back.
Because you said that you didn't see many championship fans, for example, over there.
And this is the point I was going to make. I think in today's modern game, where it's been dominated, because the finals haven't really been dominated by Super League clubs. It's just like an add-on to the grand final. And championship fans maybe feel... like eliminated from it, don't feel part of it. So for me, it just feels like a Super League event rather than a rugby league event.
So let's have a think about it. Where do we take it?
Cardiff.
Well, you love Cardiff anyway, don't you?
I like Cardiff, but I think the venue is the right size. I mean, 76,000 were there for that final between Warrington and Hull. I was disappointed with it. I thought they might have been closer, 80, 80, 85 personally. You know, Hull and Warrington got big following. So I was expecting at least 85 maybe out of push. But even with 76,000, I mean, it must have looked embarrassing on the TV seeing all those empty seats in the top
tier. There was loads of empty seats from the TV.
There was a lot of empty seats. I know the lower tiers were full, but the tops were very sparse opposite where I was sat on the press bench. But that attendance at Cardiff, that's a sellout.
That's right. You could take it to Murrayfield again. We've taken big games to Murrayfield in the past. I think that's got a slightly lesser capacity.
I mean, okay, if the RFL and the powers that be decide, listen, it's got to stay in London no matter what, to give it that national prestige, just feel to it. Okay, if that's the case, fine, but take it to the Olympic Stadium then. It's a smaller venue. At least then we've still got the London element. But I just think at the moment, don't know what the answer is, but I think at the moment, the event is not big enough to fill Wembley.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Okay, so we've done the Wembley deed.
Getting all controversial on my soapbox.
It's usually me that does all the soapbox stuff.
I don't know what's more controversial, me on about that or Jamie Peacock saying he's coming back out of retirement.
Yeah, let's just get this thrashed out. I mean, you know, all Kingston Rovers been less than convincing so far in the Super 8s.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the qualifiers.
That's a desperate roll of the dice to bring JP back, surely.
I suppose they have lost three forwards, though.
It doesn't matter. It's still a last roll of the dice, I think.
And they're not picking the star halfback either.
Well, yeah.
He's upset a few people there as Albert Kelly.
You can't really comment on that one until it's dealt with. But yeah.
It has been dealt with. They suspended him.
Okay.
You know, so. We don't know when he's going to be back because the club are staying a little bit tight-lipped about it all.
Okay. But no, I think by bringing JP back, that's desperate. That is really desperate, and if I was a Hutchinson Rovers fan, I'd be worried. I really would be worried. Great player that JP was, but you know, you just can't decide, oh, I'm going to put my boots on to save the day, because it doesn't always work that way. I mean, look at Radlinski when he did it.
And then you got Dean Bell pulling the old boots on. You were telling
David
me a story
Hume
about David Hume over at Widnes.
Never worked, so it's desperate measures when you're doing that. Hope it works for him. For JP, I hope it works for him as well. He doesn't end up having an egg on his face, because if he embarrasses himself,
Well, let's get it right. He's not played for a year, has he?
Exactly.
He's not done any pre-season, as far as we know.
He says he's ready and raring to go, but how you feel in the head and how you feel when that first tackle hits you, it's a different thing, isn't it?
And I know you feel after that tackle as well. That's an important thing as well, whether you can get back up.
And it's a big 80 minutes as well, because the qualifying nights are warming up nicely, aren't they? All of a sudden, although all the talk was, there was always a talk of a Super League club versus a Championship club, Lee. In the £1 million game. Now all the talk is, hang on a minute, it could actually be two Super League clubs in the £1 million game, with one already relegated.
We'll come to that in a minute, if that's okay, mate. I just want to concentrate just for a second. The other thing that we're going to talk about is...
Oh, good, well, I was drinking me drink then.
What about Sean Wayne?
Oh, what about Sean Wayne?
He chucked his toys out of the pram at the end of his interview,
didn't
he?
Feeling the pressure, but... Listen, you're a coach of Wigan. You're always going to be under pressure.
And especially when you've got a record like Sean has. It's not the greatest. He's been in charge now for about 5 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, the grand final was, wasn't he? Everything else, he's won. There's the assistant coach. But I'm sure he was the grand final coach when they beat Warrington. Because I'm sure I interviewed him in the dressing rooms at Man United. Have I dreamt it?
But it is one of those where, if you think about the amount of time that he's been involved and he's been in charge, I think he's only won two trophies.
Yeah, they've always been the bridesmaids, haven't they?
They have. So, interesting one there.
I think the problem with Wigan is, though, pinned a lot of faith on the former Super Sam, and it's not happened yet this year, has it?
Oh, he's been poor.
At his own standards, yeah.
I think he's come back a different player. I don't think he's come back with the same sort of fever that he left.
Yeah, he had that invincibility about him before he left, didn't he? He was like, no one could play against him, didn't know how to tackle him, didn't know how to defend it. Untouchable, best in the world. Comes back, major injury. Obviously still feeling the effects of it, and he's branded the worst overseas player to play in the NRL. That's not going to do your confidence any good, is it?
Yeah, and I don't think he was that bad.
No.
I honestly don't think he was that bad. But
it's just
I think
the Aussies, they're harsh, aren't they? They're very harsh.
I think there was a lot expected of him, and maybe he didn't deliver in quite the way that was expected. So we're talking about Wigan Warriors. They went down to Widnes Vikings. And, well, for Widnes, it was half an hour's worth of defensive duty, wasn't it, in the second half? It was a brilliant defensive effort. And let's hear from Dennis Betts, shall we?
We worked really hard this year on making sure our defensive effort was better than it's been, and it's been better every year, but like, to get in the top half of the table, to push for some kind of honours, defensively we had to be good this year, and to stay in the positive throughout the first 23 rounds and then the last few games to maintain that. I think we saw tonight the character in the team and the willingness to want to defend, and it was the character was built on the fact that when somebody makes an error, there's no backbiting, it's just get on with it. Like I say, you could have been frustrated with four or five incidents with Joey not kicking the ball on the full hit, losing it in the first tackle, Jack Buchanan losing it inside our 20 and we just got the ball back after defending two or three sets, but they didn't. They patted him on the back, got back behind the ball and defended. I thought that was, like I say, it's character in action, really. It's not words, it's visible.
Character in action.
I'm sure Dennis Betts and Mick Cassidy would have enjoyed that night.
Yeah. I mean, that's the second time this season that they've gone into Wigan's domain and come back with the points, isn't it?
It certainly is. I thought Widnes probably, by having that break, went in there a lot fresher than what they would have been if they had played the match the week before.
What about the finishes?
Certainly benefited from it anyway.
What about those finishes from Corey Thompson as well, though? I mean, he took them well. I mean, the first one came on the back of a crossfield kick from Kevin Brown, where everybody moved up, and he was the man that got it, took it on a sixpence, stepped inside two players and finished, and then...
Joe Mellor's pass was world class.
Joe Mellor, that was a fantastic
world class pass. That would have been Andrew Johns firing that pass out. They've been talking about it for ages.
You know what they said at Wigan, though?
What?
Forward.
Everything's a forward at Wigan, you know that.
And although Wigan hit back, they were a bit stunted. They've been stunted on attack all season. I don't think that they've hit the heights at all.
Well, fans might say that, but Sean Wayne, I tell you, listen, we would have won that game with they being top.
And there's no pressure.
There's no pressure.
No pressure.
No, not at all. But despite everything, I mean, a lot's been made about the Super 8s. In the fact that the bottom four, too far away for anything to play for, but Widnes and Castleford and to a lesser extent, Catalans have certainly upped the game, haven't they, to trying to upset the big boys in the top four.
I certainly agree with you, Castleford. I mean, in their game, Denny Solomona scores another hat trick, doesn't he?
Going out the way to upset them all, aren't they?
He's amazing, Denny Solomona, with the season that he's had. You mentioned there about the Widnes victory. In the aftermath of Wembley, Hull couldn't sustain it. They got beat 31 points to 10 at St.
Boring game, that, wasn't it?
It was awful. Last 20 minutes is where it livened up and the few points started going in.
Well done for Jack Owens to get a hat trick, by the way. Or was it two tries?
Two tries and kicked a hatful of goals as well.
He did, yeah.
And, you know, Warrington had a great win away at Catalan. When you consider the team that they took, the personnel that was missing, 18-0 at half time, dominating.
It's always tough to go at play score this time of year as Catalans as well, isn't it? So they've had to deal with that. The upset of Wembley, so they had to try and get that out the system. Catalans looked like they were going to hang on until Ben Curry scored the try that won the game for Warrington and sent them back to the top. And I've been questioning whether Wigan, Hull or Warrington really wanted the league lead a shield, but they all seem to want to be all out and get it, don't they?
We had this last year, didn't we, where it seemed like teams were beating each other up at the top and it went right down to the wire, didn't it? I mean, you know, maybe it'll do so again. We've got a little bit of post-game reaction as our man Steve Manning caught up with Declan Patton, the Warrington halfback, who stood in admirably and had a pretty good game as well.
Well, Declan, your thoughts on that win and your own performance at France?
Yeah, it was great game, very hard with the weather. To win it at the end like that was outstanding. The boys were over the moon, and it got us to the top spot in the league. I think 1-17, everyone dug in ridiculously hard with the conditions and the way the game went. And we went on top. Everyone kept each other going, and especially in defence, some of the people, the efforts they made, and it ended up winning us the game.
And what was your own mindset and the players' mindset going into the game, given what had happened the week previously?
I think for the few of the lads that come in and didn't play, we tried to pick everyone up, because obviously they're going to be disappointed after a big loss at Wembley. And I don't think any of the lads who played showed that they played Wembley the week before and lost, because they just focused on the game and got their head round it. And those younger lads who come in tried to give a bit of energy, and it ended up working.
From your own point of view, kicked off with a try and a goal, I think a penalty and then another one, with superb support play, so it must have been a dream afternoon for you. I mean, I think it's your second first team appearance this year.
Yeah, I was over the moon to score, obviously, and got a few goal kicks. I was just happy to do well for the team. I think, as I said before, 1-7, it wasn't just one person or two, it was everyone, and I was just there to pick up some of the good work that the people did and score the try.
Highly rated players, Deck Patton for me, and he's got a big future ahead as long as he progresses in the way he started.
I think he's got the potential to do so, hasn't he?
Yes.
You know, he sounds there like he's got his feet firmly on the ground and he knows exactly where he's going in his career.
Without a doubt, and with the absence of Kurt Gidley, because it's not really been announced when he's going to be making a comeback, it looks like Deck could be playing against Widnes in the next round of Super 8.
And that's coming up this coming weekend.
Yeah, Widnes seem to be hell-bent on upsetting the top four. So are Widnes going to do the same to Warrington that they did to Wigan the week before?
I'm sure there's going to be at least 5,000 Widnes fans that'll be thinking, yes, it's our time to go to the Halliwell Jones and to cause that upset. Or is it an upset?
As a Widnes fan, I'd say not an upset.
Let's move on to the qualifiers, shall we?
That's where the interest is.
This past weekend saw Batley finally get off to a winning start. They beat Featherstone by 11 points to 10. Huddersfield continued their good form against the Championship clubs, running in a 40 points to 4 defeat of London Broncos. Leeds Rhinos, well, it was all or nothing basically for Salford Red Devils, wasn't it? It was all or nothing. They should have been going for victory. But for some reason, it didn't happen. Leeds Rhinos came up with another good performance. Seguiero, the hooker, he's class.
Yeah, he's obviously the players they've got there, man, far too good for any of those teams that are in the middle eights, I'm afraid. And you always knew Leeds were going to go unbeaten. I can't see anything changing my mind at the minute. As for Huddersfield, okay, you mentioned the fact they've got the wins against Championship clubs. That's just papering over the cracks.
They did lose against Salford, by the way, in the first game of these eight.
They're papering over the cracks. And I think if anyone's going to go, I think it's Huddersfield.
Ooh, interesting.
I think it's Huddersfield straight from relegation, never mind £1 million game.
Interesting call.
All depends what the rest of their fixtures are, though.
Yeah, and
I'm not really had a lot.
They've got a tough run in. They play Lee at the weekend,
right?
And then they've got to play Hull, Kingston Rovers,
right?
And Leeds.
See, the thing is, right? I said before the ball was getting, I even said to you, Lee were going to do it this year. Everyone's just talking £1 million game. But I said the one that would really cement your place would be that Huddersfield game. Looks like if you win that one, Lee will be going straight up. Never mind £1 million game.
Well, as we record this, ticket sales have been going particularly well for that game. Mm. And this comes in the aftermath of the Centurions winning up on Humberside for the first time in, well, ages. I think it was 2004. I actually did a bit of research into this. Britney Spears was top of the charts.
Wow, there you go.
And what about this?
Don't sing it.
No.
All right.
Dodgeball, a true underdog story, was the film that was released in cinemas. Now we've got a proper underdog story developing.
Was Mickey Hayne playing in that game, or had he already left?
No, Mickey had gone. He was off at St Helens. But you're looking at players like Neil Turley, perhaps, who would have played in that game. But long time between drinks. Centurions got off to a dreadful start, 12-0 down after 15 minutes. We're being completely outplayed, to be honest, by Hull, Kingston Rovers, but they found a way and a will to win. And I think it was Harrison Hanson coming off the bench, really did come on, give some impetus, really got involved with the tackle. So Hull, Kingston Rovers got away with early tries from Sio and Mantellato. They later lost Ken Sio, unfortunately, which really did disrupt them. The Centurions, well, it took them until the 25th minute to respond. Hopkins, Dixon, Dawson and Drinkwater, the three try scorers in the second half. Martin Ridyard kicking four goals and an all-important drop goal. And I tell you what, great strike.
Listen, you live in Lee. You're involved with Lee. What's the mood like around Lee? Are they thinking this is it? Are they going to do it?
Well, the mood around the town is very, very confident at this moment in time. The pre-sales for the Huddersfield game are in excess of anything that's gone previously this season.
Because what a turnaround. Last year, it looked like odds on you were going to do it and then just play dreadful from day one.
It never happened. Well, they played all right for 40 minutes against Hull, Kingston Rovers, and then it never happened. Hull KR came back, pinned Lee inside their own half, and then they were a shadow of themselves for the rest of the eights campaign. Yes. Only got the one win.
So what a turnaround.
This year...
What's been different?
I think... You had a conversation with me this time last year where I was saying about how gung-ho Lee had been with their approach and attack, and you said, listen, it's all right you're doing that for 20 minutes here and 20 minutes there against Championship teams, but you're not going to do it against Super League teams.
Nope.
And it proved it.
Mm.
It proved it. So I do owe you... Well,
Though Neil Dukes was the assistant, he's obviously took notes, and now as the head coach, he's put that into practice.
He has. He's changed it around a little bit, you know, to be honest. Mm. And, let's hear from the man anyway, shall we? Let's hear from Neil Dukes. This is what he had to say to the assembled press after the win at Hull, Kingston Rovers.
What were you thinking at 12-0 down?
I thought we were going to get mullered at that point. I just, you know, as much as we just, you know, whilst we had effort and all that, we just couldn't do anything right, to be honest. And it was a little bit like rabbits in the headlight. But, we had a meeting in the hotel before we got over into Hull, and we spoke about we're going to get to some point in the game, and it's going to test our resolve and unity as a group, and we were going to go two ways with it. We either go in different directions or we stay together and pull through it as one. And what we did, we pulled through it as one. You know, the stats for them was ridiculous. I think they had 60 play the balls, we'd had 15, they'd had 7 penalties, we'd had 2. They beat us hands down in every department, but we hung in there. And then I just said to the guys at half time, I think once we start catching them up and getting the energy, we look like the team that finished the half stronger, because we had, you know, probably 50% of the ball. So just delighted. It's a big win. You know, it's nowhere near job done, and the lads know that. You know, mathematically 10 points doesn't even get you there, so we've got to keep working hard. But mate, no marks. It's a massive result to come to a place like OKR, which is historically is a real tough place, and you know, do that on the back of the poor start that we had is an incredible effort.
What were you thinking when that drop goal went through then?
thank God for that. Because a drinky try one other week and he didn't nail it, and then he tried two, and I'm thinking, you can give Riddy a go, get it to Riddy, to be fair. And as soon as he hit it, you know, he hit it sweet, and then I thought, you know, it was great, obviously elation, but elation in winning the game, and that was important. The 2 points, every 2 points is huge, obviously. But yeah, like I said, we'll dissect it. You know, the guys know we've still got a bit of a journey to get on yet, and we'll recover everything tomorrow and got a huge challenge next week. Thought Corey Patterson had his best game for the club. Renny Matua again got into 50, 60 minutes, and Andrew Dixon shared it. So we worked it well with the subs, and as I say, when we started getting, you know, at least half of the possession and the penalties, then we would have got the Super League team, in fairness, about.
Fantastic second half as well, much control.
Yeah, again, just we always get to a point where I just think, you know, we were two scores ahead, and I'm thinking, just stay in it, just keep it real simple. And our message was, keep it simple, wait for penalties, you know, kick deep, no penalties when they've got the ball. But we always seem to just let them get back to within four or within six, and then it's all it's nail biting stuff again. So we've done that nearly every game this year. You know, for Everstons, your Londons, there's something in our DNA that make it. You know, they just want to put pressure on us, but. What they've shown in again in the last four games is that they do hang in there, and again, I'm delighted.
I think it's those close games which make this team, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Like I say, it's unique, you know, the bond that they've got at the moment, and you know, we showed a lot of footage from in and around our last league game, which was Dewsbury, and as I say, we got 27 real good players in there. Some people are going on to pastures new, and some people will probably be retiring, some people will retain. But they're together, they're as one, and that's what we said, you know, from our you know, middle eight kind of preview going into it. We need to be as one, and again, the spirit down those shows.
Your Feel Better Station.
Feel Better Station.
Radio General.
Right now, though, we're in the middle of this.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Juicy and good move there, wasn't he? Mullet. What's that mean?
Very much so. I think it just means
mullet.
Yeah.
Is that in the dictionary?
Getting murdered.
Is that in the English dictionary, or is it just around Wigan and Lee?
To be honest, I'm there writing a match report.
Yeah. You're going to say you try and spell it.
Well, no. I put it in, and it tried to spell check it, so it didn't actually accept it by a word. So, yeah, there's a bit of a problem there. Not a problem for the Centurions at the moment, though. 4 from 4. Huddersfield on the horizon this coming weekend.
Mm.
Big game.
It is. I've already said you win it. Lee are in the Super League, never mind £1 million game. But at least there was one Wigan coach happy the weekend.
Hey, he's from Wigan.
Yeah. Wiganer-based coach.
Good. Don't go tarring us all with the Wigan brush.
Listen, you know the old song, you're just a small tarman from Wigan. That's what they always used to sing.
I'm looking forward to the Widnes fans singing it to us again next season.
Anyway, you mentioned winning sequences. What about Barrow?
Barrow, man.
Nine wins on the bounce. Well done to the guys.
They beat Keighley at the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, they are playing some great stuff.
Maybe it's going all wrong in West Cumbria, but where Barrow is that north? South Cumbria? Like South
Cumbria.
Lakelands, isn't it?
It's like Lakelands, isn't it?
Yeah. It's going well there, isn't it?
Paul Crary's doing a fantastic job.
Mm.
And he's got his side currently sitting in second spot. So at the moment, they go into a playoff with Toulouse Olympique.
Who haven't lost a game yet. Other than that draw against Rochdale.
No, not in that level anyway. Mm. They did lose against Wakefield in the Challenge Cup.
Oh, that's in the Cup. I mean, in the league.
In the league, yeah. They're having a belting season. 946 points they've scored in 20 games.
That's some record, that, isn't
that's
it?
That's some going, isn't it?
It certainly is.
They had a really close shave over at Hunslet, though, who are rebranding for next season.
Yeah. No, it's South Wales are rebranding as well. What's Hunslet's rebranding? What are they called?
Hunslet, they're not... I think they're dropping Hawks.
Okay.
But they're having a lion on the crest.
Oh, whole lions.
Well, I don't go as far. I don't think they're calling themselves lions. You know, but they've got a nice. It's a very traditional type of type of motif, shall we say? I was thinking of the word.
Yeah, I could see that they're going to introduce a pathway for players in South Leeds as well to get on the professional ladder as well.
Excellent. Good work. There was also wins for Rochdale and York at the weekend as well, right at the top of the League One. In the Kingstone Press Championship Shield, well, it's all looking pretty simple for Bradford Bulls. They've gone on a 5-match winning sequence in that. Halifax have been of mixed form, but they're keeping up the tabs there. Sheffield have come into a run of form as well.
Yeah, ever since their off-field problems are being announced, it's just gone off. Let's just play. We don't care, we're playing.
Very much so, yeah. Very much so. And then you look at Dewsbury Rams, who very close. I mean, if you look at it, well, they could certainly drop out of the top four in that anyway.
So South Wales, what are they called? Ironmen.
The Ironmen. They've gone to Merthyr Tydfil for
Merthyr
next season.
Tydfil. Passed through there on the way to Bridge End once.
Okay. Good spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're
not going to tell me more about that.
It's got a steel factory, there you go.
Okay. Yeah. Wonder why they're the Ironmen then, if it's got a steel factory.
Did you mention it's can we say it? Can we say the dark side?
We can.
Can we say it?
Rugby Union. Ah!
Oh,
the Rugby Union Club.
Yeah, okay. Merthyr Tydfil.
Yeah, they're called the Ironman. Or the Ironmen. I was expecting, you know, like a Marvel cartoon.
What mascot's going to be then?
I have no idea.
An Iron Man, maybe?
I have no idea. No.
Contact Marvel. For the job.
In addition to that, let's look at the League One Shield. Now, this is a competition where Newcastle Thunder, they'd already got a final berth. They'd already guaranteed that.
Right.
They managed to beat Coventry, who were the only team that could have caught North Wales Crusaders. Thankfully, the Crusaders, after sort of struggling a little bit over recent weeks, if we can say, they got the job done. They defeated Gloucestershire All Golds by 18 points to 4. But what do you make of having like a little cup to play for in that respect, the Shield?
Gives them something to play for, doesn't it? Yeah, rather than it, because a lot of them teams, no disrespect to Gloucestershire and South Wales, they know far well they're not going to be challenging your Barrows and your Yorks of the world in that division. So it gives them something to play out the season for, isn't it? It's that every minute matters mantra that the NFL keep banging on about.
And I know that we, you know, we've talked about how Wakefield haven't gone too well in the in the Super Eights. A similar club hasn't done too well since they got into these All Eights is London Scholars. Now, they sort of just eked into the Super Eights of the Kingston Press League One. They haven't won a game since. That's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then we've already hinted at it. There's all kinds of commotion happening in Cumbria. Workington Town, well, the results last week ensured that they've got relegated, which I think's a big blow in fairness.
It is for rugby league in Cumbria professionally, anyway. It's great for the amateur clubs. They're going to think, oh, we're going to get all these players playing for us now rather than playing League One.
I think the trouble there is they've had a lot of travelling players. They've not got as many Cumbrians as they once had on the books.
It's the Sellafield factor still dominates rugby league in that area.
And what about Whitehaven as well? They've gone for a slightly different approach. They've laid off their boss and appointed four leading players to take them through.
That's
to the end
of the season. That's an interesting team talk, isn't it? Who do they blame?
Who leads it?
Who do they blame when it goes wrong?
Tell you what, it certainly worked at the weekend, though. They won 56 points to 12 against Dewsbury.
Gives them a chance to get out of it, doesn't it?
It does. And, interestingly enough, this weekend, they play against Oldham. It's all to play for.
Win there, because a win for Oldham could put them in the top four.
While we've just got a couple of minutes left, the rest of the fixtures for this week are St Helens against Castleford on Thursday, Hull and Wigan on Friday, Wakefield take on Catalan. There's a big derby between Warrington and Widnes. Then in the Super Eights, the qualifiers, there's Leeds taking on Batley. It's the first time in ages that Batley have gone to Leeds, I think. On Saturday, Lee host Huddersfield. And on Sunday in the qualifiers, you've got London Broncos taking on Hull Kingston Rovers and Salford up against Featherstone. And in the League One Super 8s, you've got York against Donny. You've got Toulouse taking on Barrow on Saturday. That could be an interesting one, because Barrow will have to go back there.
Yeah, without a doubt, and I'm sure Barrow will want to win that one. So one, become the first team to beat Toulouse, and secondly, keep their winning run going.
Then the action switches on to Doncaster against London Scholars, Keighley against York City Knights, Rochdale against Hunslet, and in the Shield, the fixtures are Gloucestershire All Golds taking on South Wales, Ironmen. It says Scorpions on this list here, obviously. That was put together before
league,
they announced it.
Especially behind the times.
Hemel against Coventry Burrs. And then on the Sunday, Oxford against the North Wales Crusaders.
No pressure then on those teams.
No pressure at all.
Not on Sean Wayne anyway.
And I think that's how we'll leave it for this edition of The Final Hooter. Thanks for joining us. It's Dave Parkinson and Adrian Jackson signing off.